Please rise in body or spirit for the reading of the scripture. Today's readings are from Luke 23, verses 33 through 43. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide the clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Did you not fear God, since you were under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The inspired word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord God Almighty, we are in your presence this morning, and we ask that the words we speak, the message we hear, the thoughts we have, may they be pleasing to you. For you are our rock, our redeemer, our creator, and our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So very few of us, I believe, crawl out of bed on a Sunday morning, stumble to the shower, feast on Pop-Tarts, and then drive to church because we ache to know more about the liturgical seasons of the church. We're more likely thinking about football teams that might be playing, where they are in the standings, and possibly what might fill our afternoons or the rest of our day once we get out of church. Like, where are we going to go to lunch? Now, we've heard pastors assure us that the lectionary makes for good discipline, but we have way too many thoughts jostling around in our brains to really care. We don't just come to church hungering for a word about where a particular Sunday falls in the church calendar in the church year. We want a word that speaks to us no matter what Sunday the calendar says it is. On Sunday, we want some salve for our hurts, some brace for our fears. And Pastor, don't get lost in your speaking, in your notes, okay? Some light that evaporates our anxiety. Who cares about the church year? Well, some of us do, especially if you have the task of replacing the paraments of the church. By the way, the paraments are these things that are hanging all around the church. And we pastors care about where we are in the liturgical year as well. For the record, today marks the last Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday, we start with Advent, the first Sunday of the church year. If we expect the liturgical calendar to make sense, we might find a surprise waiting for us. Christians start the year at the end. If we read Isaiah next week, which we probably will, we'll talk about how in the days to come, God is going to bring us all together. We start at the end. If we read from Matthew, we will hear about the coming of the Son of Man, once again, beginning at the end. We begin the church year with a promise of what God will do, how God will act in the future. If we are surprised at how the church year begins at the end, what do we make of the way the church year ends, at least in the gospel reading we have for today? We might argue that the church year ends in the middle of things. On the last Sunday of the year, Jesus remains alive. He's not resurrected yet, but he's alive. We remember Jesus' death in the spring, and we celebrate the resurrection months before the last Sunday of the year. But on this day, we go back. We go back to when Jesus is being crucified. We again come face to face with the resurrection. Who would end the church year this way? The year ends before Jesus' death and his resurrection, with all the significance that's in that. Just as troubling, the year ends when the forces of evil in the world are at full throttle and Jesus' opponents drag him before Pilate. The lies start pouring out. This man has perverted our nation. He tells us to refuse to pay taxes to the government. He calls himself a king. When Pilate raises an eyebrow to all that, they ramp up the shrillness. He's stirring everyone up. Pilate passes the buck on to Herod, where Jesus endures mocking, he endures contempt, and he endures ridicule. Jesus' people turn on him. They shout against him. Jesus loses a vote to a rebel. Herod and Pilate both want to just let him walk, but the people won't have it. And on the human level, Jesus might have avoided the crucifixion and death if the two politicians had talked more persuasively. We might see Jesus' death as a close call. If one or two things had broken his way, he might have avoided the cross. And the scene opens today, this segment that we're listening to. Jesus is hanging on the cross in humiliation between two criminals. Brutish, callous soldiers gamble for his clothes. Even if those clothes aren't much to roll the dice about. The Roman government has made all three men victims. One might expect the three would find some sort of comfort, some sort of solidarity, that they're there together. We might think they would support each other, saying something like, "Look what the Romans have done to us." One of the criminals didn't see an us in the three of them hanging there. Even he lashes out at Christ, saying, "If you are such a big deal Messiah, here's a chance for you to save something. You can start with yourself and us." So ends the church year. Jesus is hanging on a cross, still alive, but deep in humiliation and degradation, treated worse than any person ought to endure. The violence, aggression, and hatred of the world stand unchecked. The ugliness of humanity comes into full view. What do we make of this scene at the end of the church year? We can say that if the church year leaves us hanging, so does life. Some of life's wounds never completely heal. When we long for a happy ending, we may find things unresolved with loose ends frayed and open. Jesus' accusers lied about him to Pilate. They twisted his message out of shape. No one refuted them. By the end of our narrative for today, no one had challenged those lies. Perhaps we have felt the hot sting of a lie that was told about us. We may have had to repair our reputation. Some people believe the lies that others tell, and we have to work to make that better. A lot of pain goes into it when somebody lies about another person. If no one has lied about us, we may burn with rage over the lies that fill social media. The fact checkers work double overtime but can't keep up. Every lie does more damage to our sense of trust. Herod and Pilate had no reason to rescue Jesus, but they did not think he was supposed to die. They didn't think he deserved it. If they'd figured out a clever way to speak to the crowd, they might have saved Jesus from his fate. Humanly speaking, Jesus died after a close call that could have gone either way. How much pain have we suffered that we might have avoided? How often have we faced tragedy that did not have to come? How many times have we asked, if only, if only? The cruelty that seeps up through the human heart often leaves us stunned. How can people be so mean? Jesus never hurt anyone. He didn't deserve the hurt that the soldiers who mocked him, gambled for his clothes, and treated him like dirt put upon him, whipped him, spit on him. We all know that memories of cruelty from our childhood can pop up when we least expect it. The pain seems to be just as fresh now as it happened then. People of goodwill throw their best efforts to stop bullying, but bullies keep on marching. No one admits to being a bully, but we see the hurt everywhere. Anyone who is gentle, anyone who is different, no matter how innocent or helpless, can move into the crosshairs of a bully. We might expect trouble from a stranger or someone who never has liked us, but the betrayal of a friend or one we consider an ally, that hurts even much more. The criminal might have considered himself in solidarity with Jesus, but his taunts ring in Jesus' ear. He was never Jesus' friend, but he could have created common ground. He could have offered support in the midst of their mutual predicament. A betrayal destroys a relationship and wrecks even the memories of good times. Love can morph into anger. Warm feelings can sour and can turn bitter. So this time of year, we end the church year with Jesus on the cross. We may not come to church eager to know about liturgical seasons, but we can begin to see the wisdom of ending the year this way. Our own lives often just leave open wounds and unresolved problems. For now, we are on this side of the resurrection. Maybe no one corrects the lies others tell about us. We experience and see cruelty that shocks us. We regret the close calls that might have come had things gone either way. We feel the hot burn of betrayal. By the end of the year, Jesus on the cross in pain of mind and body, the church recognizes that we find life this way. What Jesus experiences in this passage mirrors our own experience. Yet the passage contains more than just Jesus' suffering. We call this day Christ the King Sunday, or the Reign of Christ Sunday. We might wish that Jesus had power over the lies, the cruelty, and the betrayal we experience now. Jesus shows us, however, that the power of the Holy Spirit is hanging there on that cross. And Jesus forgives the soldiers who have riveted his body to an unwielding wooden cross. Jesus opens the possibilities of paradise to the criminals who repent. Forgiveness releases us from the hate in our hearts. Paradise, a reference to the restored Eden, holds out the promise of God's work of a renewal of all creation. Jesus shows us where to find healing for our souls and draws out hope for each and every one of us. Let's take that healing, let's take that hope and use it to sustain ourselves when the cruelty and pain of life threaten to overwhelm us. Let us remember that Jesus has been where we are. He has shown us that the pain of life does not have the last word. Let us live in the triumph of Jesus over the hurt and the humiliation that life can throw our way. Let us follow Christ, the sovereign Lord, who knows our pain but trusts God with the final outcome. Let us pray, Jesus, remember me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.